Right now, though, let's catch up with the man that hopefully will give us the latest news. As you know, that the mighty Amakhosi, they have not been at their best in recent seasons, and that is a fact that we all know. But I tell you what, though, surely the worst of it all was just concluded in the 2023-24 campaign. Now, they failed to stage any serious challenge to claim any cup and went on to finish 10th in the Premier Soccer League. And with other clubs as well enjoying their off days, I doubt that that's the case, though, at Natch Arena. So preparations for next season are without a doubt at an all-time high. And also the head coach is surely not the only major change that's coming to the Soweto Giants. There are signs as well of an entire squad overhaul in every position, I do believe, as Amakhosi looks to finally end the decade-long drought. Now, let's inspect very quickly what the new campaign holds for Kaizer Chiefs with their new coach set to arrive next week. Well, a man who's always giving us the scoops here, Far Post editor Umthokozisi Dube. Umthoko, thank you so much for your time, and good evening and welcome to the show.
Good evening, Rob, and good evening to the listeners.
Yeah, here's a man that you know quite well, a man that maybe you knew better than any of us here in South Africa a long time ago. So he's said to arrive next week. Can you confirm that that is the case?
Yeah, look, it's well, not necessarily the case, but most likely, because you'll remember that he is still contracted to AS FAR Rabat, and they play a cup semi-final on Sunday, the Throne Cup. And obviously, what would likely to happen after that is that because the Throne Cup is the king's, you know, project, if I may put it. So he will determine when that cup will happen. So if the king says the cup is in a week, he would likely stay for the final. If the king says the cup is in at the end of July, realistically, it may not make sense to wait until that long. So I think the date of the final and whether he makes it to the final would determine when he comes through.
What are the timelines, though? Because there's a lot of ifs and when this happens, then this will happen. Are they definite timelines, though?
Look, there are timelines, but obviously, I mean, when you contracted to a club and you have a contract that still runs. Remember, he signed a 2-year deal when he joined this team. So obviously, it would be difficult to leave in the middle of a campaign or before the end of a campaign, before you even finish a year. So I think out of respect, you know, for the club, he's trying to at least manage his exit nicely so that it doesn't, because there's already lots of, you know, tensions around the whole thing. So I think he's also trying to manage this whole thing. From what I've gathered, by beginning of July, he should be with Kaizer Chiefs.
But he's also been quoted, Toro, and I know that that's why you gave the answer that you gave early on, is that he's been quoted as saying that, yes, 100%. He's not denying the fact that Chiefs have given him an offer, but he also says that he has other offers that he's looking at from other clubs around the world. Is that maybe just a decoy to get this whole Chiefs thing off his back, or is he being honest?
Yeah, look, two things. I think... firstly, he can't obviously come out in public and say, yes, I'm joining Kaizer Chiefs when he's still with AS FAR. Secondly, he's correct. I think last week on Friday, USM Alger from Algeria made contact with him. Banias from the UAE also made contact with him. They are very much interested in him. But I think it's been... you know, over a year. I think the first time I met him was in 2020, and he said to me, I'd love to coach in South Africa. You know, so you can see this is something that he's longed for a very long time. And it being, you know, the biggest club in South Africa, I think he's obviously excited about the project and would love to take the project.
Well, it's a project that will mean that he shakes a couple of things up, and I'm sure he would have tabled a few demands there, Mthokozisi, that when he comes through, he needs his own backroom staff, he needs his own personnel to come through. Maybe talk us through that.
Look, I think the reason this deal didn't happen in last year around this time was obviously around the issue of him wanting to bring his own staff. I think we had this discussion. And he's always been very clear to say, if I'm going to take any project, I obviously need to look at the staff that's available and see if it's people that are good enough. Because I know a lot of people would have a question to say, but why did he go alone to ASFAR? I think he only went with his first assistant. So it's because he looked at the technical staff that they had and was happy with the way they performed the previous season and also their credentials. So in Kaizer Chiefs case, he was obviously concerned with the people that were in charge. And you look at different areas like conditioning. I mean, it's an area where he felt, look, if he's going to play the kind of football that he wants to play, he needs his players properly conditioned. In terms of his goalkeeper's coach, the goalkeeper, the Chiefs, play a different way from the way that he plays. His goalkeeper's coach understands how he wants to play. So I think the discussion now has been that he can actually bring his technical staff. And the people that he's bringing are actually top people. I mean, a guy like Fernando da Cruz, for 25 games, he led the race for the league in Morocco with AS FAR Rabat, which they obviously won. I think he didn't finish that season, but they won the league that season. Fernando da Cruz, at some point in his career, replaced Marcelo Bielsa. Of course, it was temporary, but I think it shows you the caliber of coach that he is. He's done extensive work as an academy director in Europe, so quite a good coach in his own right. I mean, he can even run the team as a head coach. He's also got his eye on his analyst who he works with at AS FAR Rabat. Very young man, a 24-year-old Ayman. I've spoken to some players at AS FAR who speak so highly of Ayman's work. He's been with the club. When they won the league, he was actually with them. He was with Coach Nabi this current season. He's also looking at the goalkeeper's coach of Mauritania. We saw him at AFCON, a very veteran coach. So you can see. So he's likely to bring about five different people. The other one being a conditioning coach who works for Wydad Casablanca, also worked with Raja Casablanca in the past. So you can see the caliber of people that he's bringing. It's people that he really trusts and believes would help him, get the job done.
I mean, let's not lie about this, Mtogo. That's an overhaul. So do you think that that's something that Kaizer Chiefs, or have they agreed to a lot of these? Because then what happens to, let's say, one of the local coaches that Chiefs would want to have or to maintain alongside, like pretty much what Orlando Pirates have done?
Look, I was actually telling someone, and I was saying this is one of the best decisions I feel the club has taken in over a decade, to allow a coach to bring his own staff and be able to hold him to account in terms of results. I mean, I think the reason he's at a point where he's saying, I'm happy to come and take this project is because they've actually said, look, we'll give you this support, we'll allow you to bring these people. In terms of a local coach, there's not been any mention of a local coach working with in that structure. There's not been any mention of a local coach working within that structure. Maybe that's something that will be introduced to him at a later stage. But from the conversations that I've also picked from people around him, there's not been any mention of a local coach working with them.
And just give me, Togo, before I let you go, man, what South African players or African players has he been talking about who might interest him that he would want to sign ASAP?
Yeah, look, quite interesting. I mean, because he follows the game, he's followed the game for quite a while. So from time to time, he would mention, South African players that he even was thinking of taking to AS FAR when he was trying to to replace Reda Slim, the winger who joined Al Ahly at the start of the season. So there's quite a number of players that I can see have interested in, you know, players like Oswin Apolis. He's spoken so much about him. He's spoken about Thabang Matuludi, the right back from Polokwane City. But the interesting thing is also the teams that he's mentioning. It's not players from big teams. He's spoken about Sani Leban, who obviously has joined Stellenbosch FC. He's spoken about Lunge Longuse, the striker at Golden Arrows. He's spoken about Elias Mokwana, you know, from Skukune. So those are players that he's previously mentioned. But I think Kaizer Chiefs fans would be excited to hear how much he's excited by the talent of Samuel Ozwane. You know, at some point early in the year, he was asking me, he says, but why is this young man not playing? You know, he calls him Sidoff. So very, very interesting to see what he does with the young man.
Sure, man, so much to look forward to here. I think you've painted a picture, and I trust nobody else but you when it comes to news regarding this particular coach that has been speculated that will be joining Kaizer Chiefs. So I think the breakdown that you've given gives it even more credibility that maybe, you know, we'll get more response as well from the Kaizer Chiefs faithful and their fans, what their impressions are, what they're thinking, the news that you've also just broken with us here, Togo. Just very quickly, anything else that I've left out?
Look, I think I think the big thing for him is, I'm sure people would be asking why this guy so much wants to coach Kaizer Chiefs. He feels that he's at a point in his career where he's towards the end of his coaching career. You know, remember he started coaching in 2002. So he feels he wants to have a club that will give him time to rebuild and actually take the club to a CAF competition and lift a CAF, you know, Confederation Cup or a CAF Champions League. So that's what he would be looking at when it comes down to Kaizer Chiefs.
Thank you so much indeed. Check out Far Post for any latest updates there. That's the Far Post editor, Umtogo Zisi Dube, joining us right here on hashtag MSW Baba. Thank you so much indeed. Highly, highly appreciated. And yay, hey, interesting times ahead for Kaizer Chiefs.
Hashtag MSW live now on 947 Vuma FM, Rise FM, and Soweto Live at the same time. Hashtag MSW.
Well, it's gone exactly 26 minutes after the hour. It is hashtag MSW Mara Sports Worldwide, wherever you're listening, around the country, the continent, or the world. Our eye is firmly glued tonight on the ICC Men's World Cup 2024. South Africa there, sure, what a performance I've seen here today. They won the toss. They elected to bat first. USA kind of fought back, though, very quick wickets against South Africa. Proteas now set the USA 195 target to win. As it stands now, they've just hit a four, and it's 23 runs for no wickets. It's 2.2 overs that have been played. But I can tell you, though, that, you know, Quinton de Kock, you know, 74, including a 26-ball half century. That was really amazing to watch. Aiden Markram as well, adding 46. Hendrik Claassen as well, unbeaten on 36. And as I said, that the bowling there from Subra Natarvalkar, picking up for the USA bowlers with two wickets off 21 balls. And also just concluding that conversation that we just had now with Umtogo Zisi Dube. And my scorpions tell me that the man, yes, Nabi, has signed a 3-year contract. So hopefully things do work out for them and we do see them rising back again to top flight and exciting football of trophy winning stature. Now, also keeping an eye on the Euros right now. It's round number 2. It's Germany up against Hungary right now. It is, 28 minutes played in the game. Oh, that man, you cannot stop him. Took him just 22 minutes to score the goal, getting off a Gundogan assist there. That was Jamal Musiala. I remember we spoke about him just as we started the show tonight. So early on, Croatia beat Albania by In fact, yeah, Croatia and Albania play to a 2-2 draw. Currently, Germany and Hungary. It is Germany leading by a 2-0. Later on tonight, 9 o'clock, it's going to be Scotland and Switzerland. So looking forward to that and a whole lot more. Well, sitting comfortably in our Joburg studios, sure, I mean, what a season he's had. I think more often than not, you know, players of this man's stature often referred to as being pint-sized, you know, the dynamites and many other names that truly encapsulate their structure as well as their strength. However, I think I don't like to use those kind of words because it's never the size of the dog that matters, but rather the fight or the bite of the dog, whichever one you choose. And I think he's bitten quite well this season. Is that a couple of massive chunks that is taken off his opponents. And he certainly stands out as one of those that I don't think that we appreciate a great deal. You look at his unwavering commitment. You look at the passion that he plays with, the trickery that he still has in abundance. I mean, it's beauty. You want to watch him every single time he plays football. I mean, a team player as well. There was a stage people said, he's too selfish. Nah, not anymore. Maybe he wasn't. It's just people didn't understand how he was playing. And a career journey that's been remarkable to watch. Lots of setbacks, yes, he'll admit to that. But he's always rising to the top. Ladies and gentlemen, he's here in our studio in Joburg. AmaZulu midfielder Pule Eksteen, welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you, Brahob.
How are you doing? You good?
I'm good, and yourself?
You know the story, man. You went up to a place where it's very cold. I decided to come down to a place that's very warm. But you are here all the time, and you've settled in very, very well down in Durban. How would you describe your past season?
It was not easy, Brahob. But let's thank the men above, the coaches, supporters, my wife, my family for supporting me. Going back to your question, I think it's one of the best season I ever had for me since I came to AmaZulu.
Why though? What was the difference? What for you changed?
I think what changed is that being focused, listening to the coaches, doing things accordingly, and wanting to achieve things with AmaZulu because I've been there for 3 seasons and I didn't deliver. First season, you remember, I didn't play. So I had to fight for my position. I told myself I must fight so that I can win my position.
So that first season obviously was a disappointment. There was even a stage, though, where you were demoted. And I talk about, you know, your time at AmaZulu, where you're being demoted now to the reserve team and you had to fight your way back again. Do you think that that's also part of the sobering journey that you had to undertake for you now to be and have been at your best, as you describe? Was that demotion something that you took quite personally?
No, I didn't take it too personally because it's a learning curve for me. In fact, it was a learning curve for me. And don't forget, it was not the first time where I was demoted. But I took it in a way that I need to push myself. And for me, I think it helped the development players also to be there, to teach them and to be humble also. It humbled me. And ingenza ukuthi ngipushe too much to a point ukuthi whenever I get a chance to the first team again, I must push, I must not come back with development again. And I'm so happy for the opportunity engayithola from the development coaches and the development players for always pushing me to tell me that I'm going to go back there. And when I get there, I must do my best. And I think I'm doing my best now.
But what do you think was different? How were the coaches conducting themselves around you, you know, being in the reserve team as opposed to, you know, players knowing you, being a first team player? For you, what was that rude awakening? What kind of sobered things up for you?
What I told myself is that I'm going to respect the coaches and respect the players. For me, I told myself I'm going to be a development player again. Why I'm saying that is because when you get there and want to become a big player or a so-called top player, you're not going to be able to focus, and those kids, they're not going to respect you, and they're not going to work with you. They're going to be afraid of you. So I said, no, let me be on their level. When they lift the pole, I lift the pole. When they pick up the cones, I pick up the cones. And I make sure that I'm early each and every training session. I'm always the first one. Obviously, I was not there alone. I was there with Section Kalinge. So we told ourselves that we're going to be early each and every day. And we needed to lead by example to those youngsters. And the coaches were happy.
Oh, I mean, that's refreshing to hear, because I spoke to your president, Usandi Lizungu, a couple of weeks ago, and he also highlighted how impressed he's been watching you do exactly the things that you've just described now. And I was having a look at some of your stats, though, during the day, and I have to go back to your 2020-2021 season at Sebail, where you clocked something like 1,786 minutes of play in that season. And you haven't had a season like that in the previous two that you've been at AmaZulu, up until the one that's just ended now, where you racked up again 1,488 minutes on the field. I mean, did you feel like you had given that shift? Did it feel like you had given all of those minutes on the field?
Yeah, I was happy, and I'm still happy even today, the way I'm playing and the way I'm pushing. And all goes to my teammates, the coaches, and everybody who's supporting me. The supporters for always pushing me and for always wanting to deliver for the team. So I'm so happy. Each and every player wants to play. Each and every player wants to deliver for the team. So I'm always grateful for the opportunity.
And you know, the amazing thing again, Pule, is the fact that when you make comparisons, and I went back to your time at Kaizer Chiefs, and a lot of people have known you as a top flight player for Kaizer Chiefs, but you also had never clocked as many minutes on the field at Kaizer Chiefs as you did for AmaZulu this past season. And again, I ask the question, what is it about the change of attitude? What is it about your ambitions? What is it that you want to achieve, given the fact that now you're being rewarded for the discipline that you show?
Like I normally say, respect, discipline will take you far. So for me, getting those chances and trying to deliver for the team has always been my thing. And then it has always been the thing of me wanting to contribute for the team. I don't want to be that player who came to the team and they said there was once a player but never brought anything for the team. Obviously, I can't do it alone. I can only do it with the support of the coaches, technical team, and players. So for me, whenever I go to training or whenever I'm playing, is that thing of me trying to deliver. So the mentality, and also I want to thank my wife for pushing me, praying for me to become a better a footballer, and thanks to Modimo Atabasioni, which is ZTC Church, for always guiding me wherever I'm going.
Did you find that that changed, though, especially your depth of religion, your main focus in religion? I see a lot of your social media posts, they really reflect the fact that you're deeply entrenched, you know, within your focus within the ZTC Church. And has that in some way been able to level you somewhat, been able to make you realize maybe some of your previous shortcomings?
Yeah, it helped me a lot, because there are certain things I don't do anymore, which is I was doing before, which is I was not, I'm going to be honest, I was not sleeping well, I was not resting, I used to drink. Let's say, for instance, we are playing in FNB. After the match, I will go to my Kasi and want to prove that I just played the derby, now I'm here. So for now, those things are no longer there. I'm no longer drinking. After the match, I'm going home to be with my family, or if my family is not there, I'm alone. So I think it's changed me a lot, and it helped me also.
Would you say that alcohol somehow also played a big role in terms of making some of the major wrong decisions that you've encountered in your journey?
Sorry?
I'm saying the influence of alcohol,
yes,
negatively to you, what role did that play? Because sometimes people's emotions and feelings and doings are clouded by the consumption of alcohol, which you now say you don't do?
I think for me, I was drinking just for fun. Because to be honest, I was not even finishing maybe six and konukuiqeda. So for me, it was just for fun. For that thing, you could know I'm just drinking for the sake of drinking. But to be honest, it was not helping anything. You don't rest, you don't sleep enough. And as a footballer, you need to rest, you need to sleep enough for your body to function on the field. So I had to look at myself in the mirror and say, Pule, is this the life you want? And if this is the life you want, you must know that you will never go the 10 seasons or 11 seasons, 15 seasons if you keep on doing what you are doing. So I sat down and I looked at myself and I said, I'm going to leave all these things. That's why I ended up joining the church, because at church you don't normally drink, you don't do what, you sleep early, those kind of things.
And then what about family, though? Because it's one thing being a father, but being a family person is something different. Tell me the difference.
To be a family man, you need to consider a lot of things, sacrifice a lot of things, spend time with the family. When it's off-season like now, you go and be with your family. It's either you go to the vacations or wherever you want to go, but it's all about being with your family. So for me, it helps me a lot. And also for me now, I guess I'm ready to play another season because I've rested before. It was that thing of me not resting. And when the season starts, I'm tired because of I'm doing the wrong things. Now I guess I'm doing the right things with my family. Even now I'm with my wife.
What do you want to say to her?
My baby, I just want to thank you for Ntshongoleng ngongketsetsang yona. And thanks for always pushing me, praying for me, wanting me to be a better footballer. And thanks for the support. Every time I play, I know you're always there. And whenever I don't do well, you always tell me. When I do well, you always tell me. So I want to thank you, my baby. And I love you.
Oh. you want to respond, madam? What is your response to
thank
that?
Thank you so much, my husband.
I'm putting you in the deep
a lot. I appreciate. Thank you so much, my husband.
You're welcome, my baby.
Oh, man. What a moment. Guys, you would swear it's the 14th of February, hey? But it's not Valentine's Day. It's Valentine's Day every day in the Eckstein family. So, so proud indeed of the turnaround that the man has made. So proud as well to be with and moving around with his wife, praising her for just grounding him. More to come after the break. Don't go anywhere. Send us your WhatsApp voice notes. Any questions or comments?
Hashtag MSW live now on 947 Vuma FM, Rise FM, and Soweto Live at the same time. Hashtag MSW. Previously on Marawa Sports Worldwide.
Mario Leo, he's the founder of End Result Sports. Well, I've never seen a sold-out training like they had just after they arrived in Germany, just to watch Portugal not playing, but training.
The Portuguese Football Federation gave away 1,000 tickets to people just to go to the practice session or the training session of Cristiano Ronaldo. If Portugal, let's say, proceeds into the semifinals, we will see the first athlete crossing 1 billion followers on social media. I mean, he's now at 950 million, growing like by a million, million and a half per day on his social channels. Absolutely stunning numbers. You and me wished to reach these numbers, but he's got them. And it's just incredible.
Hashtag MSW.
Good evening, Rob, and the fellow MSW listeners. Look, Rob, we're looking forward, man, to the new coach that will come to and coach the Kaizer Chiefs this coming season. It's about time that Kaizer Chiefs reclaim its glory on the field and show that we are the biggest club in the country. So with the new coach and the new technical team that's coming on board, and also with the acquisition of new players that might come later on, we certainly show that we'll reclaim the glory by winning the league and also some few cups and dethrone Sundowns. Because now, look, Rob, the drought has been long, 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 long time. This is about time now we go back to normality on the field. Thanks, Rob. Bongani.
Good evening, Marawa and Umthoko. Marawa ngusiya ePE. Firstly, Marawa, I must say this. I did not see this one coming. As a Kaizer Chiefs supporter, I really did not see this one coming, especially after the way in negotiations, fell off last season with Unabi and the Kaizer Chiefs. I did not think Unabi will reconsider coming to the Kaizer Chiefs, but I'm grateful. I am grateful to Kaizer Chiefs management and Unabi and his team for accepting our offer and accepting the challenge of coming to South Africa and coming to awaken the sleeping giant that is Kaizer Chiefs. So I am very, very grateful to that coach. And Rob, if I am thinking clearly, the last time we had a proper technical team was when Umushin came in his first stint. I think he brought in Elsa Storm, he brought in Tinkalanka, he brought in Farouk Khan. You know, that was a proper technical team. Obviously, in the scouting department, we were well off. So with the technical team that Unabi is bringing, I am very, very happy. But I want to see improvement on individual players. And if I finish number 3 next season and I don't win any trophy, I'll be very, very happy. Again, thank you to Kaizer Chiefs management and thank you to Unabi. Enkosi Rob.
Yeah, 12 more minutes left of our conversation. Sorry, with our guest in studio, that is Upule Ekstein. I think just shuttling around between the cricket as well as what's happening in the Euros here, getting us all muddled up. So USA 56-2 now. They need 139 more runs from the 82 balls. I obviously don't see that happening, but hey, guess what? It is cricket. Anything can happen, but at the rate that the wickets are tumbling, I would highly think otherwise. Germany still leading Hungary by a goal to nil. Tom's on the line wanting to chat to a guest. Tom, good evening.
Hi, Rob. How are you?
I'm very good, man. You want to chat to Pule?
Yes. Good evening, Pule.
Kunjan, Tom.
Hello, Brian. Rob, I think Pule, you know, boy, you are a man. You know, a man always mans up. You spoke about your drinking habits, and you put it straight into the public. That's manning up. That helps a player to make up for the mistakes. I remember Junior Kanye doing the same with Rob. My question to you, boy, is, what strength did you gather from your ups and downs? And secondly, my second question and final one, so that I give others a chance. If an offer comes to return to Kaizer Chiefs, are you going to take it? I know you are contracted to Amazon, but if an offer comes or from Pirates or Sundowns, are you going to consider it or you're okay at Amazon? Thanks, Rob.
Tom, thank you so much indeed. You can catch the interview live on YouTube. Look at a very stylish Pule Ekstein there with the fancy cap that he's got on. You can tune on to the YouTube channel and watch that live. Maybe let's deal with the second part. If another team came through, Pule, and gave you an offer, would you go? I think you mentioned a particular club. Or do you continue with AmaZulu next season?
I'm still at AmaZulu, Bob. I'm happy at Egwini, so I'll continue in the AmaZulu.
That was a very interesting question that I picked up as well. Maybe it's this one. Listen to this.
Good evening, Tarops. It's Bonelo Ngobo here from Durban. I just want to ask Pule Ekstein regarding his style of play. When he was promoted to Kaizer Chiefs and when he was still playing in MTC, he was known as a player who likes show putting. But now he plays more of a terrace football. Which coach changed him in terms of his style of play to make him realize that in a modern football you need to play direct? And secondly, when it comes to show putting and African way of playing, South African way of playing football, does he think we miss those kind of players like Skarangobese, him, Masibusa Nezongo, Chabupule and all? Does he think we still need those kind of players? Thank you very much. Sibonelo Ngcobo in Durban.
Sibonelo, thank you so much indeed. Pule, how do you respond to that?
About me showboating, I think I once said it when I was talking to you. Coach Ernest once substituted me, I think, first half. Then after the match, he told me that I'm not interested in this kind of football, but the next coming game, I will play you. If you can play this nonsense again, I will never play you again. And we were playing Vets, I remember. I started the game, I played, and I got an assist from Park. I scored, I became a man of the match. Then he came to me and said, this is the football I want, not what you are doing. I can't say the words that he said on radio, but he said something.
No, I think knowing Ernest Benendopule, I can imagine what he said to you. I think nonsense is all we'll hear from you. But personally, though, outside of Ernest Middendorp and outside of that interaction with him and that little confrontation, do you think that that advice that is given you is currently helping you?
Yeah, it helped me a lot, and it's still helping me even now. Look how I play. I don't like to give myself credit, but look how I play. I think I'm playing better than before. That's why I'm getting more minutes than before. So I think he helped me a lot, even going to Baku. I think that thing helped me a lot. And sometimes it's all about living from your comfort zone and go and learn somewhere. So I think I learned and I'm happy.
Hey, Darob, I'm laughing because I remember this tackle that he once tackled Coach Steve Compeller. Does he remember that tackle? I don't remember which team Chiefs was playing against, but Chiefs was coached by Compeller back then. And then he went sliding, then he slid over the coach. I ask him if he still remember that moment. Pule, Hendrik, XTN. We salute you.
Oh, man. You know, the love that's being shown to you, it must touch you quite deeply, though, Bull. I mean, just that incident alone. I mean, there was Steve Compeller. I remember that incident quite well. He was wearing his, you know, his old black suit and his, you know, Kaizer Chiefs golden tie. And then, boom, from standing to being on the ground.
Yes, we were playing against Ajax Cape Town. So I remember they pushed me and I was next to Coach Steve. So there was nothing I could do.
Did he say anything after that? Was it just an incident that he also realized was an incident, an accident?
No, he didn't say anything because he saw it was an incident.
Yeah.
Yes.
So very bold and manly of him. Just a quick update. Sorry, I know you love your cricket as well. USA 58 for 3, 7.3 overs have been played. They're targeting 195. So yeah, wickets are tumbling as far as that game is concerned. But also more of your questions coming through. You can log on to the YouTube channel. And in fact, maybe let's remind him of this.
The coach is asking himself as well. There might be a chance again. And Bajra takes over now. XTN gets the shot in. Yami makes the save. They've got the goal. Well, he's more than made up for it. Pule XTN with 5 minutes to go. That's what happens when you shoot a goal. Yeah. Well, Veli Monkwa loves the celebration. He's out to join in. This is an error, and XTN took responsibility. And Bajra set him up there. He got the first shot in. And then the rebound felt perfectly for him. Needed no second invitation, Pule XTN. And we have a goal in the closing stages here that might well settle this encounter.
Do you watch your games back? I mean, from that commentary, did you pick up what game that was?
Yes, I normally record my games before I go to the match, or if I'm not home, I ask my wife to record the games for me. So I still remember the game we were playing against Royal AM Nedbank Cup. I came in second half. I think it was 15 or 10 minutes left.
Sure. For you, though, the one coach that has made a major impression in your life as a footballer would be who? I don't want you to mention your current coach at AmaZulu, because that will also be unfair on you and an unfair question from me. But outside of Ucijimbi, who has changed your footballing life?
To be honest with you, I think all the coaches who coached me, from Coach Stuart Baxter, who gave me the chance to play for the first team, Coach Steve, and I kept on talking to Coach Steve even though I was in Baku. We kept on talking. Coach Benny, and I also want to thank Coach Benny for the opportunity that he gave me from Baku to AmaZulu, and I'm still in AmaZulu now, so I want to thank him. I don't think I got a chance to thank him enough, so I want to thank Coach Benny for the opportunity he gave me. I know when the time he was there, I was not playing, but like I said, it was all about me, so I want to thank him. Coach Falls, because I was at the development, then he came, he said, they told him about me that there's a player, he's training with the development side. He then told the president there, please bring the player, I want to see him. Then he gave me the chance. I'm still at AmaZulu now, and the current coach now.
Pule Eksteen is my guest, taking a couple of your reactions.
Mr. Rob, it's Hulu Falang here, and good evening to the MSW Shoulders, and good evening to Pule Eksteen, an underrated player in my books. Underrated in such a manner that he is that hardworking, and he's not given a lot of credit for the work that he does, especially when he is in a really good mood, and he will definitely push the team to get that result that the team needs in such an amazing manner possible. What I could get from Pule Eksteen is that he's such a very humble player, very respectful player that a lot of coaches have spoken highly of. I mean, the much recent conversation that you had with President Sandy Lezomo, he's spoken so highly of the work rate of Pule Eksteen, the way that he has changed his attitude, the way he has now decided to humble himself and look at the bigger picture and realize that if I would want to play for as long as I want to play, then there's certain things that I need to stop. And well, the results are very, very telling. He has had by far one of his best seasons since donning a jersey of any DStv Premiership side. And there's no question for me, just a compliment. Brother man, congratulations on such a great season. Hopefully, we're going to get the same Pule Eksteen, if not a better Pule Eksteen, in the coming 2024-25 season. But other than that, congratulations on such a great career, and long may this continue. Great show as always. Thanks.
Hulu Falang, thank you so much indeed. Looking at the YouTube feed here, man, plenty of questions, comments that are coming through. Shigaga says, I'm in awe of Pule's 360-degree turn. It shows on his humility, the way that has elevated his game. And it's just too impressive right now. He says, I'm glad that he found God in the process. And he says, you inspire us a great deal. Gregory Larry also says, Baxter, utilize them very, very well. A great player. Those skills that you showed in the last game against Chipper United, great skill indeed, and a proper baller, as he calls you. Pinky Smithy, I see you saying that, he's blessed with an amazing wife. She's absolutely beautiful. Soccer players should have such wives to put them into order when they go astray, and put their husbands in prayer. So great credit to both of you, Pule. And yeah, the people here in Durban were waiting with the red carpet, so I'm going to go fold that red carpet and put it away until the next time when I do see you. But I want to thank you so much, man, for bracing our studios, coming through. What's your wish, though, for the brand new season?
Obviously, is to see the team maybe lifting one of the trophies. Obviously, to be honest, we can't win all of them, but I will be happy to see AmaZulu lifting one of the trophies, either the league, Calling Black Label or NetBank. So hoping that everything will go our way next season.
Hendrik Eksteen, I appreciate you, Baba Man. All the best.
Bravo.
Thank you so, so very much indeed for him, for stepping into the studio, though, chatting to us right here on hashtag MSW. I see also a number of your voice notes that came through wanting to address Richards Bay and what happened today. I'm going to park those. I'll play them tomorrow. Guess what? We'll have the chairman of the club in studio. Until then, South Africa. Hey, USA, 71 now for 4. Wicket just tumbled. They need 124 more runs from 64 balls. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hashtag MSW, live now on 947, Vuma FM, Rise FM, and Soweto Live at the same time. Hashtag MSW.